talking about? Practice? We're talking about practice, man. We're talking about practice. We're talking about practice. We ain't talking about the game. We're talking about practice, man.
Welcome to the first episode of the No Practice Podcast. I'm joined by my great co-host, Shuvra.
What up, what up?
Figured we'd start off the first episode just by talking about a little bit of a background story about why we love the game of basketball so much. That's also probably evident by the fact that you, as a listener, are listening to this podcast. You clearly care about basketball. You got the reference. Shout out to Allen Iverson.
We're practicing nothing.
We don't practice shit in this podcast, just like Iverson.
We do prepare, though.
We do prepare. There is a difference. Shuvra, why don't you get us started, man?
Alrighty, so, you know, we kind of want to talk a bit about what basketball means to us, ultimately why we're starting a podcast, and then just get into a bit about, you know, how the Raptors have been doing in the last little while. So without further ado, what does basketball mean to myself? You know, for me, growing up, it was the quickest way to make friends. You know, as, you know, we moved to the country, I was like 5 or 6. Could barely speak the language, and all the people in my school were playing basketball, or, you know, the people who looked the closest to me were playing basketball, and it was the easiest way for me to go in and kind of, like, you know, make friends. I was naturally kind of good at the sport as well.
Naturally.
I mean,
you were kind of trash, though, let's be honest.
Yo, I was crossing man's over from time, bro. You know? And yeah, like, it was, I think for the biggest thing was just in school, it was the quickest way for me to make friends.
Yeah.
What about you, Tenzin?
I mean, I think our stories are going to be pretty similarly echoed. We both come from immigrant families. We moved to Toronto. Our families were hoping to give us better lives. Luckily, we found, number one, the Canadian people who were extremely receptive of us. And the first thing you notice when you come to a country like Canada is you notice that it's extremely multicultural. There's people from all walks of life coming here. So naturally, when the sport of the country is going to be hockey, you notice a little bit of a disconnect between the people of the country and the sport itself. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but the sport is predominantly pretty white. And obviously growing up as people that are not white, it seems to be, it make you a little bit, you wonder about what else is out there.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And like, yeah, to be perfectly honest, growing up, it was easier for me to relate to basketball players because, you know, they looked closer to me and like, honestly, like physically, right?
You're 6 foot, you're 6 foot nine, you're way too much.
I mean, I'm a short brown man, but like the fact remains.
Yeah.
It was just much easier for me to relate to growing up, and honestly, it was just cooler than hockey, too.
Yeah, it is a lot cooler than hockey. One of our friends made the interesting point that with basketball, you actually get to notice, you see the players' faces. They're not really obstructed by masks and helmets and so forth. It's quite in the open.
It adds a lot more personality to the sport.
A lot more personality.
You can connect much more. You see their emotions as the game's going on in these pressure-packed moments, you know, when they're interacting with each other, interacting with their coaches, other players, et cetera. The fights, all that kind of stuff. Right? It's just all in all was just much more entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think, you know, both Tenzin and I were growing up at a time when, you know, the Raptors were just starting to come up. We had just drafted a few exciting players. Vince Carter. I mean, I don't think there needs to be much more said about that. Like, if you don't know Vince Carter and his impact on Toronto basketball and basketball in the entire country, it cannot be understated. He is probably the biggest reason why the Raptors were able to kind of get that early jolt of popularity.
Definitely.
And why many, many young immigrant children and like just Canadian children in general got into the sport and kind of like became so passionate about it. And that's evident with all the rabid fans in the past few years when the Raptors have finally been successful. For like what, like the last like 6-7 years, we've, yep, been like pretty successful, doing very well,
ramping up.
Exactly. Yep. All these fans, like most of them, they were watching the Raptors,
yeah,
from when we were with, had Kevin O'Neal as our coach, Chris Bosh, freaking the darker days of Mike James.
Oh my God.
You know,
Andrea Bargnani. Rafael Rougeau.
Shout out to Rafael.
Who became apparently a swimsuit model for a women's magazine or
that
something
was,
like that.
To this day, the worst draft pick I think I've ever seen in my entire life. That, yep, guy was so bad.
Do you remember any nicknames for him?
Hafa. I think his name was Hafa.
Hafa.
Yeah. Shout out to Chuck Swirsky.
Chuck Swirsky.
The God.
What an appropriate nickname, because, I mean, he was legitimately half a player. All right, I'm going to stop right there.
But yeah, back to the topic of Vince Carter, man. I think, again, he was literally the reason why the sport grew as much as it did.
Definitely.
I think in a few years, he was leading the all-star votes for, like the entire NBA, right?
Yeah, it's hard to kind of find a player that's been named after the, I guess, the stadium itself or the country itself for a while. He was called Air Canada Carter. I can't think of any
half
other examples
man, half
of that.
Half amazing.
LeBron James didn't even get that nickname, although he did get the nickname of King.
Air Cleveland.
doesn't have the same ring to it for some reason.
Definitely not.
Definitely doesn't have the same reason. So, I don't know. I don't know about you, but I remember a lot of things about the financially accessible factors about basketball. It's the fact that tickets were so incredibly cheap back then. Especially compared to the other sports, the major sports, you could get a ticket for somewhere less than like $20, $15, something like that. And there's an amount of great value. You go to the game, if they score more than 100 points, you get a slice of pizza at the end. Some great memories with Mo Pete. Even though we were down many, many points, Mo Pete would make it a mission to make sure that everyone got 100 points so we could go home with pizza. That's what I remember as being a kid. So, I mean, why we wanted to make this podcast, I feel like now is a good time as any. We just won a championship. The country as a whole has unified, at least that's the way I feel about it.
The basketball community, the basketball part of it all.
Okay, the country's still kind of divided.
But no, it was like the Raptors winning the championship definitely worked to bring a lot of people together. Definitely helped to increase the Raptors fan base.
Yeah.
All those bandwagoners, hopefully they stay on and don't just fall off.
Yeah.
Right? yeah, no, I think this is the perfect time for us to start this podcast. For me, why I want to start it, like, you know, Tenzin and I, we've been friends for a little while now.
He thinks we're friends.
Shit.
Not really.
We're always talking about this kind of stuff anyways. Basketball, life in Toronto, the culture, hip-hop music, etc. And, you know, I think for myself, I felt a lack of representation of, you know, the kind of people that we are. You know, young working professionals of an immigrant background, living in Toronto, came up in Toronto, spent our entire lives here, have very unique experiences tied to the city. And we kind of wanted to be a little voice of our people.
Definitely. For me, the reason why I wanted to make the podcast, I think that, number one, it's a great way to reach people that are similar to you. It gives you a voice to connect with people that might be thinking the same way. As Trevor mentioned, me and him are both working professionals. We've come to a place in life where we've not only appreciated the sport for many years, but we've kind of gotten a deeper understanding of it. So we're hoping to dive into those in the coming episodes. Not too super analytical, nothing like that, but enough to kind of get to pique your interest a little bit, especially if you're into the statistical side. You want to get a little bit more deeper into the sport itself, the inner workings, the drama, the storylines, all that. We're about all that stuff. So, yeah.
Exactly, 100%. Yeah. And we plan to kind of do weekly segments on different aspects of the game, of different teams, the NBA, and of course the Raptors, the hometown team. This year is looking pretty promising as well.
Yep.
Which, you know, of course Kawhi left, right?
It's all good.
But yo,
can we talk about that for a second though? How are you feeling about that?
I mean, how are you going to win a championship and leave, bro?
Honestly, that's what I told a lot of people. This is the first time ever that a player has won a championship with the team and then left the next season.
I mean, I get it. You want to go home and you want to, like, be with your family, et cetera, but, like, you've reached the pinnacle.
Yeah, this is it.
This is it.
This is the Mount Olympus of basketball.
We literally, it was David versus Goliath.
Yeah.
The Warriors, for the past 3-4 years, whatever it may be, were wrecking the league.
Yep.
And we conquered Goliath.
Absolutely.
You know, albeit, let's be fair, Goliath was a bit hobbled, right? Durant went down, Curry went down, et cetera. But whatever, doesn't matter. Fact remains, we won.
We got to the finals.
Beat him.
We beat the freak in the East and Giannis Antetokounmpo, which, listen, Toronto fans, I love you guys. I love the team, but I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't think we were going to make it past that series. I saw Giannis as a legitimate doorstopper for us, and I didn't know how we were going to get around that.
I mean, yeah, especially when we started the series, like, down 2-0.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, shit, here we go. But,
Toronto fans are going to be crying all over the place.
But I don't know, man. After that, the shot with all the bounces, like, the stars were aligning, man. That was the greatest moment, aside from the championship itself.
Yeah.
Like, the greatest moment in Toronto Raptors history.
Oh, you're talking about the Philly series?
The Philly series shot.
Yeah. I still get goosebumps watching that video. I don't know about you, man.
Yeah. I'm getting goosebumps right now.
Yeah. What an amazing moment. I have a t-shirt with it. No bragging, but I do have a t-shirt.
We
with
all
that
have
shot
that t-shirt,
it.
Bro. Like, everyone has that t-shirt.
No, they don't.
They made like a million copies.
All right, maybe they did.
I'm wearing one right now. No, I'm not.
I don't think he is. So why don't we just get a quick check-in with the Raptors now. We talked about their legacy. We'll just kind of give a quick rush into some of the high points, some of the low points of the season, what expectations were set, what expectations were broken. First thing, I guess I want to really talk about Kyle Lowry. He's kind of at the heart of the team. He's the engine.
Greatest Raptor of all time.
The biggest caboose.
Yo, that booty, though. Let me see what that booty, though.
Kyle Thick. The quickness with the thickness, so aptly named by me now. I'm putting it out there and right now. The quickness with the thickness.
All-star.
He's a legitimate all-star. He's playing like it this year. He's hitting numbers.
Worth the contract.
Definitely worth the contract.
Fuck the haters.
There's legitimate stretches in games where people feel like he is a little bit overpaid. He doesn't step up in key moments, but I honestly think that he has broken all expectations. He's done a really good job this season. There's a clear uptick in his performance. Even before he hurt his hand, he was playing some of the best basketball of his career. It took a little bit of time for him to come back and maybe a game or two for him to get ramped up again, but eventually he was back to hitting big fuck you threes in everyone's faces coming down the court. Nothing gets me more excited than his clutch time, fourth quarter, minute or two left in the game. Kyle just drives down center, calls an ISO play, and hits a big fuck you three in someone's face. Bang! Two or three times in a row even. This guy's a legitimate performer. He gets the minutes to back it up. He steps up in big moments. And honestly, I forget sometimes the age factor is a thing. This man is, how old is he now?
He's at 34. So that's like one of the biggest arguments against him right now, or things going against him, is that, you know, you can't justify that contract based on his age, et cetera. But as Tenzin alluded to, like, he's been performing. He has performed. Like, we won the championship last year with Kyle Lowry being one of the most integral parts of that whole run. We don't win game six in the Warriors series without Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, absolutely.
He showed up.
Yeah.
And he came to play.
I think it's a great transition to the fact that we have two or three great players on our team that, although they don't show up all the time on the stat line at the end of the night, their performance in key moments, Kyle Lowry specifically being able to take charges in key moments, getting his team riled up, that's stuff that doesn't really show up on the stat line. And I think that if you just look at analytics, you just look at data, it's not really going to show up. You got to be watching the games. You got to be watching the flow of the games, the rhythm of the games. That's a huge piece as to why I think that Kyle Lowry is going to be everything we said. He's going to be maybe the greatest Raptor that we've ever had.
I think he already is, man.
He already is the greatest Raptor of all time.
Like, 100%. I think if you're talking about, like, most talented Raptor of all time, it's Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you can be the greatest without being, like, the most talented.
Something about that guy, man. Watching him smile.
Lowry?
Lowry. Yeah. Watching him smile, watching him, like, interact with the players, the coaches, watching him getting his team riled up, like, watching him kind of take people to the sidelines, taking Van Vliet under his wing. He's just a good guy.
Van Vliet is a mini Lowry.
He legitimately is.
And honestly, like, it's been really interesting watching Lowry's career develop with the Raptors, because before, when he was with Houston, he kind of had a bad rap of being, like, uncoachable. He was having clashes with, I think at the time, sorry, I forget who the coach was of the Rockets at the time, but there was numerous reports about him being uncoachable, and even when he was with Memphis before Houston. And then, you know, everyone still saw the potential. He was a young buck, just trying to make his name, clashing with coaching staff, other players, etc. Got traded to Toronto, had a fresh start, essentially, a new chance to kind of come in and, like, establish himself.
Yeah.
And through the course of the last 7-8 years, we've seen that.
Definitely.
Right? And it all culminated in, like, the greatest thing that you could do in the NBA, winning a championship, and with him being, like, the de facto leader. Like, Kawhi Leonard is the best player, but Kyle was the leader.
Kyle was definitely the leader. And he maintains the leader position every night. There's no surprise for that. Hall of Fame contender? Let's talk about it. That's the biggest question, I feel like, right now at this point in his career.
That's a tough one, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't... I wouldn't be surprised, per se, but... Yeah. If you look at his overall career, like, multiple all-star, multiple-time all-star, very good stats throughout his career, mm-hmm. championship. would say he's a borderline Hall of Famer.
Borderline Hall of Famer, yeah.
He's not like a first ballot Hall of Famer.
I wouldn't say so. Let's be honest. Let's be 100% honest. Yeah. Love the guy, but we got to be a little more. We got to be a little bit objective.
Yeah.
Okay, next piece on the conversation, I guess we'll move on to the next biggest piece right now. It's going to be Pascal Siakam, obviously.
The truth. Paul Pierce.
He does not shit his pants in key moments. Last year he got the MIP. Pretty exciting moment for him in his career. I honestly haven't seen a player that has stepped up year after year, has improved clearly across all categories like Pascal Siakam has.
Yeah, 100%. Siakam is definitely the best player on the Raptors right now from a pure talent standpoint.
Yeah.
To your point, he has exceeded all expectations. Once Kawhi left, it was kind of understood that Siakam would step into that role of being the new go-to guy. And for all intents and purposes, he's come in, he's met those expectations, and he's been performing like, what is it, like 26 points per game,
mm-hmm.
something like 8-9 rebounds,
yep.
good efficiency,
yep.
big shots, still improving. It's a shame he went down. He's been down for a while now. I think he went down on December 11th,
mm-hmm.
so like approaching a month or so. I still think he's an all-star this season.
I would say so as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. He gets. He's had more than a handful of double-doubles this season. Like you said, 25-10, 25-8 on a really good night. That's easy to expect from Pascal. High field goal percentages, very efficient player. And that spin move, man.
The spin move, I think, is his... Well, obviously, it's one of his biggest strengths, but
Derek Zoolander, man. That's his thing.
His magnum.
That's his magnum right there. And
he's been working on that for years. Still can't turn left, though.
for some reason, I don't know if he turns the left or right the most, but it's always the same spin move towards the same direction.
Yeah, so like for me, it brings up a very interesting point of like how Siakam can grow as a player. I think it becomes very evident from watching the Raptors and watching Siakam be the focal point is he always kind of defaults to the spin move. If he's not shooting threes or like, you know, able to hit his shots, whenever he does drive in, 9 times out of 10, he's going to do some kind of spin to get around the defender and ultimately try to get the bucket, right? Which is great when it works, but it's kind of like a crutch. And if Tenzin and I are sitting here talking about it and we notice this, you bet your ass there are definitely video coordinators out there, coaches out there who have also recognized this one weakness in his game, if you want to call it that. So I think that's kind of like his next progression,
mm-hmm.
Just working on his overall game. But, I mean, Siakam is the prototype of a modern NBA player.
Yep.
He's a long boy.
He is a long boy.
He runs like a gazelle.
Yeah.
He can shoot. I'm looking at you, Ben Simmons. Learn to shoot, bro.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, the one
in like one.
The last 5 years. anyways, long boy, runs like a gazelle, shoots the ball well.
What a motor on the guy.
What a motor.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And he's got like a great attitude.
Yeah.
Right? He is like who you would want to like be your main guy.
Absolutely.
But that also brings another interesting question. Do you think he is the number one guy on a championship team?
Are you proposing that if we were to run it back this year, would he be the best player on the team?
In general. Yeah. So.
Oh, just move on any franchise?
In general, is he good enough to be the number one option?
Okay. Listen, there's points in this season where he's definitely been performing like he's the best player on the court. A handful of games that's happened. I don't think he's ready to be the number one piece just yet. I think he's a great supporting piece. I think he really, really needs a really vision-heavy point guard like Kyle Lowry to set up those mismatches for him so that he can capitalize on his spin moves and drives into the lane. I think that's a huge factor for him. I think that if you take out a pass-first point guard like Kyle Lowry out of the picture, I don't see Pascal doing as well. Don't hate me on this comment, but I think that he works well as a very very good augmentary piece. He's a good secondary piece. Will he be able to do this in the future? Definitely. I can see that being the case maybe 1 or 2 seasons from now. And there's a couple things that he really has to work on. I really like that he's been upping his shooting recently for this season. 3 points are going in. He seems to be picking his spots a little better, but there's moments in games where he just kind of pushes it a little bit too much and he gets lost. Yeah, he gets a little bit lost sometimes. So,
I think there's definitely a lot of room to improve.
Mm.
I share similar sentiments. I think he is a very good second option. Like, I'm talking like Klay Thompson level, like,
yeah.
second option.
Yeah.
like borderline number one option.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he's still a very young player. Like, I can still see him continuing to grow and become that legitimate number one.
Yep.
I don't think he's there just yet based on, you know, some of the limitations that I think or that I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the future in Raptor land is promising,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And with Pascal Siakam and ultimately also Masai Ujiri, who is the god, right?
Yeah, Masai Ujiri.
Yeah.
Shout out to Masai. Wait, I think we need to get a statue of this guy in front of the center eventually. Yeah.
And so, you know, we just want to thank you guys for listening. You know, we're going to kind of cap this episode at that. You can expect to see many more episodes in the coming weeks, coming months.
Various topics. From funny to sad, from
exactly.
exciting.
You know, we're going to keep it 100 all the time.
Yeah.
Give you that real experience. give you all the real info. You know what I'm saying?
All
right. And that's what it is. No Practice Podcast.
Yeah, we're out. Peace.
One love.
Bye.